Thank you all for coming to the program this evening. How nice to see you all and have your association. I hope this is not too loud. No? Keep you awake? Okay. Well, the thing is this. This is the thing. That the day after tomorrow is Gaur Purnima, the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya. And it is our practice, at least in many places, it is our practice to discuss the appearance of the Lord, be it Lord Chaitanya at Gaur Purnima time, be it Lord Krishna at Janmashtami time, be it Lord Ram at Ram Navami time, etc., etc. It is our practice, at least in some places, that not only on the actual day do we discuss the glories of that particular personality, form of the Lord, but many times in many places, for a week or so, for some period leading up to the main day, we discuss related subjects, and in this way set the scene for the actual day where everything is focused very deeply. So with your permission, if you are not opposed, we will do something like that right now. Is that okay? Or are you opposed? Not a problem? Not a serious problem? Okay. So let us say a few things about the appearance of the Lord. And first of all, let us say a few things about events leading up to the appearance of the Lord. Because Lord Chaitanya did not just appear, in a whimsical sort of way, just out of the blue. There were different events which led up to, culminated in, the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. So we only have tonight, actually, otherwise we could for a week discuss these things. Let us this evening just discuss a little bit about some of the events leading up to the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. So you can repeat after me. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Ki. Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi Ki. Srila Prabhupada ki Gaur Premanandi. Okay, so there are a number of descriptions of different events which led to the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. Some of them happened, well, they all basically happened, or at least many of them happened, in quite different places at different times. And even they may appear to not really be so much directly related to each other. But that's okay, because they are all from authoritative sources. Therefore, we can be completely confident of their accuracy and appropriateness. Let us begin by discussing very interesting, I find it very interesting, description from Lochandas Thakur in his Chaitanya Mangala, if you're familiar with that. Very interesting book. Right at the beginning, there's a discussion between Murari Gupta, the great physician, doctor, devotee of Lord Chaitanya, and a devotee named Devananda Pandit, who's another very close associate of Lord Chaitanya. So, as it happened, Devananda Pandit asked Murari Gupta, "Can you explain why, how Lord Chaitanya appeared? What led up to it? What caused it? Can you explain that?" And Murari Gupta, who of course is very authorized and very authorized devotee and very intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya, he said, "Yes, sure." And the description he gives, it's quite a long story actually, but the essence of it, or some of the main parts of it, are as follows. That one time in Dwarka, Rukmini Devi, the chief of Lord Krishna's queens, was in her palace. Krishna was elsewhere. Krishna was actually visiting Satyabhama. So he wasn't there with Rukmini immediately. And Rukmini was just meditating on the Lord and thinking of the Lord and just becoming more and more ecstatic. And then she heard the news that Lord Krishna had just left the palace of Satyabhama and he was on his way to her palace. So Rukmini was so extremely excited, enthusiastic, so happy, completely ecstatic. "Krishna is coming, my beloved Lord." She immediately cleaned everything up and got everything together and got herself together, made everything just right for receiving Lord Krishna. And sure enough, the Lord arrived. And when the Lord arrived, he sat down. She took his lotus feet, placed them to her heart, and just started crying. She was already crying in ecstasy, crying and crying and crying, and just bathing his lotus feet with her tears while massaging his lotus feet and holding them to her heart. And she was just, it was just such an amazing scene. But now Lord Krishna, seeing this, Lord Krishna actually became a little perplexed. He misunderstood the situation, misread the mood, the emotions of Rukmini Devi. And somehow Lord Krishna thought she was upset with him and disturbed, and therefore she was crying so much. So Krishna became anxious, and Krishna said to Rukmini, "What's the problem? Have I upset you again?" Because you may recall, if you're familiar with the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there was a very famous incident described there in detail when Lord Krishna thought he would have a little joke at the expense of Rukmini. So he was just joking, but acting as if he was serious. Lord Krishna said, "You know, I'm just not fit to be your husband. I am just of a lower class. You are such a high class woman. You are a princess. Look at me. Nobody really knows what I am. I was a cowherd, a lowly cowherd. Now here I am in Dwarka, living like a Kshatriya. But am I really a Kshatriya? Not really. I'm more on the cowherd side. Vaishya, and you are pure Kshatriya, very high class princess. So you deserve better than me. So what I think you should do, Rukmini, is I think you should just leave me and find some other man of higher caliber, more suitable to be your husband, and you just get rid of me. Just dump me." And Rukmini, she thought Krishna was serious. And of course, her love for Krishna is completely beyond any considerations of varna ashram or birth, position by birth, etc., etc., all these designations. She's completely on the level of pure Krishna prema. So when she heard that Krishna was indirectly, apparently rejecting her, she became very disturbed. And you may recall, if you've read that, that she fainted. the back of the town says, just like a banana tree, a banana palm, if it is blown over by a severe wind, as we had in this area this afternoon, what a wind that was. The banana palm, big banana palm, it may just fall straight over, bang. It doesn't sort of, you know, come to the ground, sort of. It just goes straight over, bang. So she went straight over, just straight over, crash on the ground. So Krishna said, in this situation here, where he's just returned to Rukmini's quarters, and Krishna's not clear, why is she so emotional? Krishna said, is it that you have not got over that whole experience? When I was speaking to you in that way and I was joking, are you still upset with me because of that? Or what is it? Have I disobeyed any of your orders? Krishna said, because every good husband knows it's very dangerous to disobey the orders of your wife. Oh yes. This, you know, if you want to learn one of the first lessons in household life, then there you got it. Whatever the wife says is right, and you do it right now. Hare Krishna. Anyway, so Krishna said like that, have I disobeyed your orders, or have I somehow done something which angered you? What is it? What's the situation? Krishna said, I don't understand. I just don't understand why you're feeling like this. What is it? And Rukmini said, yes, this is the thing. This is the thing. You don't understand. You don't understand. You are all-knowing. You are Sarvajna. You know everything in every corner of the creation, north, south, east, or west. You know everything. But this thing, you don't know. You don't understand. You don't understand how much your devotees love you. You don't understand that. And Rukmini said, I'm crying because I love you. I'm feeling so fortunate to have your lotus feet here, to place them to my heart. I'm so happy. I'm so happy to serve your lotus feet. I would do anything to serve your lotus feet. It's just the most wonderful thing for me. But you don't understand that. You don't understand the love that your devotees have for you. And Krishna just went like, wow, that's amazing. I never thought of that. I really never thought of that. And Rukmini said, yes, I know. But you must think about it. In fact, you will not be able to really understand it unless and until you take the position of a devotee. Only then will you understand. Otherwise, it will remain some confusing mystery for you, and sometimes, like now, you'll just be lost in the situation. And there's a little lengthy discussion in which Rukmini is, so to speak, preaching to Lord Krishna and telling him, actually, it's not simply that you should just become a devotee in order to understand the love of your devotees. If you really want to understand the love of your devotees, then you need to experience the position of Srimati Radharani. That you need to do. Then you'll fully understand what it means. Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi Shri Shri Gaurnitai Shri Giri Govardhana Ki. And Rukmini at length explains, at some length, explained to Krishna that you need to experience the love of Radharani for you. And then you'll understand this. And that's very important for you. It's very important that you actually take that position in order to really understand. Not just in a sort of academic or indirect way, but really within your heart, realize this fully. So, like I said, it's a fairly lengthy description that Murari Gupta gives, and he goes on. The next sort of phase in the development of the pastime is that then Narada Muni arrives in Dwarka. Narada Muni arrives, and Narada Muni has been moving around planet Earth. He dropped in at KL, JB. What do they say? BM. Is that right? Any other ones?
SP.
I don't even know what it is. He went to SP also. He went to all these places. And what he saw when he went to all these places, it really depressed him. He was really feeling sad, because all the people were just extremely materialistic and just absorbed in material sense gratification, and they were antagonistic to Krishna and so on and so forth. Just typical, extremely materialistic situation. And Narada Muni, he had been going around trying to preach to the people. And as he was going around trying to preach, he was in ecstasy. But the people wouldn't take him seriously. And they were laughing at him and rejecting him and just carrying on with their nonsense despite his efforts. And as a result, Narada Muni was really not very happy at all. So Narada Muni then arrived in Dwaraka in this deeply disturbed mood. And he came and visited the Lord. He spoke with the Lord. And he explained to the Lord that there's no alternative. If we are going to help these people, if these people are going to be helped, it has to be done by you. I tried. I couldn't do it. They just rejected me. Something much more is needed. You are needed. You have to save these people and give them devotional service and show them what is devotional service. And then Krishna became really inspired. And Krishna said, you know, I've just been thinking about this. We've just been discussing. I have to take the position of Radharani for that reason, to understand the love of my devotees. But now you, one of my topmost devotees, you're appealing to me to go and save the people, so I have to do that. So what I will do, I will appear in a combined form, myself and Radharani. And in the mood, I'll be in the mood of a devotee. And in order to please you, I'll be helping to save the conditioned souls. And then Lord Krishna, right there in front of Narada Muni, he manifested the form of Lord Gauranga. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Kuki, Shri Gopanima Mahotsava Ki. So there's more to it also, but that's sort of the essence or one of the main parts of this whole description which Narada Muni gives. Very nice to see. I mean, Murari Gupta gives. Shri Gopanima Mahotsava Ki. So, like I said, there are a number of places in Shastra, in the authoritative writings of our great acharyas, there are different descriptions of the same sort of thing. Like, one example, we just came back from Mayapur, and you did too, I think. When? Today. Hare Krishna. So, what do I say? Nala Vela. Is that right? Don't worry. I'm speaking Tamil to you. What is it? Now, Valerie.
Valerie.
Now, Valerie. Hare Krishna. Don't mind my Tamil. Okay, yes, we were there. and we went on the Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. We were out there every day. And one of the nine islands, the Navadvip, one of the nine islands is Modadrum Dweep. And there's a very interesting story there that Lord Ram, when Lord Ram was exiled, he and Mother Sita and Lakshman, they actually went to Navadvip. They actually visited Navadvip, and they spent some time in Moldadruma Dweep, because there's a very big banyan tree, at least there was, and they were living under that beautiful, beautiful, big banyan tree in that beautiful forest for some time. And one day, Mother Sita noticed that Lord Ram was sitting like practically in meditation, almost in samadhi. He was just so absorbed in thinking about something that he was kind of oblivious, certainly not fully aware of what was going on around him. And on top of that, he was smiling, big smile, really happy. So Mother Sita interrupted his meditation and said, "My dear Lord, please tell me, what is it you're thinking about? You're obviously thinking about something very wonderful. Please share this with me." So Lord Ram said, "Yes, it's a fact. I am thinking about something which is most wonderful. Let me tell you." So Lord Ram explained to Mother Sita, "You and I, we are going to appear in this area in Kali Yuga together. We will be together, and we will be husband and wife, and we'll be very happy together." And Mother Sita said, "Really? That's wonderful. We're going to be together here again? That is just wonderful." And Lord Ram said, "Yes. And we are going to distribute love for ourselves to all the people and save all the conditioned souls who are suffering." And Mother Sita said, "Really? That's wonderful. That is just most wonderful. I can't wait." And then Lord Ram said, "And on top of all that, the best thing is, the very best thing is that when I am 24 and you are 16, I will leave you and take sannyas, and you'll never see me again." Isn't that wonderful? And Mother Sita was shocked. "What? How could you do that? How could you be so cruel? What's wonderful about that? That's not nice." And Lord Ram said, "Actually, it is nice. Actually, by doing this, I am going to give you the greatest gift of all. And that is love in separation. Your love for me, by me leaving you and taking sannyas, your love for me and the ecstasy that you feel in your love for me will be increased dramatically, geometrically, many times. So it will be the greatest gift for you, and it will help you so much, and you'll appreciate it so much. And Zita said, well, look, I don't know about that. But anyway, this is what happened. This is what happened. Because when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, then Vishnupriya, Sita became Vishnupriya. Vishnupriya, she became so deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness, incomparably, practically. She developed the practice. She lived on. This was, she was 16 years old. She lived to be 96. She lived for 80 more years. Yes. And her program was as follows. She would just chant all day. She would simply chant. And when she finished a round, she would take a grain of rice and set it aside, and then chant the next round. And when she finished that, she'd take another grain of rice and set that aside, and so on and so forth. And that is what she would do all day. And nothing else. Nothing. Simply chant. Plus, she didn't sleep. She didn't sleep. So during the course of the day, maybe she chanted 100 and something rounds. So there was 100 and something grains of rice set aside. And, you know, that's not a lot of rice, actually. It's not a lot of rice. We're not talking about enough for a meal. We're talking about, you know, a little pile of rice. Then she would soak the rice. She wouldn't even cook it. She would soak it just so it wasn't like hard and that sort of almost like slightly crispy but very hard texture of raw rice. She would soak it. Then she would offer it to her deity, who they say is that Dharmeshwar Mahaprabhu deity, if you're familiar with Mayapur Dham, famous deity there said to have been worshipped by her. So she would offer that plain soaked rice to the deity, and then she would distribute the Mahaprasadam. Her assistant was Ishan Thakur. He was like the family servant. There was Vamsi Vadan Thakur. There were various others in the sort of the circle who were connected with her. So she would give everyone a grain of rice, Mahaprasad from Mahaprabhu. And whatever was left, that's it. She would eat that. Yes. So it was very powerful, very, very deep. So, yes, so that's another interesting little bit of background. Interesting little bit of background to the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. As I said, if we had more days, we could go into some more things. But let me tell you one other thing. This is from Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. He has written a book called Swapna Vilas Amrita. Swapna, yeah, Vilas Amrita. Nectarian pastimes in the dream. In the dream. Swapna means the dream. So in this description by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, this takes place in Vrindavan when Krishna was there 5,000 years ago. Every evening he would have the rasa dance with Srimati Radharani and the gopis. And every now and then he would leave them, and sometimes they'd leave him. There are all sorts of different adventures that would take place during the course of the nightly rasa dances. So anyway, one evening, one night, well, at the end of the night, morning is sort of, you know, morning is approaching. So, Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna went to a place called Nidivan or Niduvan. Nidivan or Niduvan. If you're familiar with Vrindavan town, you will know it's a walled sort of garden area near Radharaman temple. Yeah, big area there. Kind of central Vrindavan town, sort of, more or less. So Niduvan or Nidivan means the forest of sleeping. Yes. So Radha and Krishna would go there sometimes. At that time, after having rasa danced all night, and now the morning is just about to come, they would go there and take rest. Those of you who have read our book about Vrindavan town, this is all described there in detail. So, anyway, so they were sleeping there, and Radharani had a dream, a very vivid dream, and very extraordinary dream. And suddenly she just woke up from the dream, and she woke up Krishna. Wake up, wake up. I have to tell you about this dream I just had. It was amazing. So Srimati Radharani describes the dream, and she tells Lord Krishna that there I was in a very beautiful place with very beautiful forest, just like Vrindavan, but it was a little different also, not exactly the same as Vrindavan. And there was a river there, just like the Yamuna River. But it was different from the Yamuna River also. Somewhat different. And there were many devotees there. And they were dressed like the devotees here. But they were dressed a little different. And they were chanting your glories, just like the devotees here. But they were chanting a little differently. Different accent, It's very similar, but a little different. It was, and they were ecstatic, just like the devotees here. But it was all a little different. And then, Srimati Radharani said, and then there was this one very tall Brahmin devotee. Very tall Brahmin devotee. And he was just unique. I never saw anyone like him at all. He was really different. And he was a vivid golden color. And I couldn't believe it. He seems to be the same color as me. But Radharani said, I never saw anyone who the color of their skin is similar to mine. But the color of his skin was just like mine. But he was male, and he was very big. And as all the devotees were having kirtan and chanting Hare Krishna, he was chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And he became so emotional. Tears were just cascading from his eyes, like waterfalls. I've never seen anyone with emotions like that for you, except me. But I thought, how could he be me? He seems like me, but how could he be me? And then he started chanting, Radhe, Radhe, chanting my names and becoming ecstatic. And I thought, oh, maybe he's you. And I became confused, and I am confused. Who is this person? He has features of me, and he has features of you. And what was that place? And who were those devotees? It was so much like here, but it was different. What is this? And Krishna said, my dear Srimati Radharani, look at this. Krishna pulled out his Kastuba gem and said to Srimati Radharani, look into this gem and tell me what you see. And Radharani looked into the Kastuba gem and she saw the same scene. With this, everything was the same, including that very big Brahmin devotee in incredible ecstasy. And Radharani said, what is this? You never told me about this. And Krishna said, actually, this is a form of me. Previously, I revealed to you about my other incarnations, expansions, Lord Ram, Lord Narayan, and so on, and you were not so impressed. But now, seeing this form of me, now you are very impressed. This is a special form of me. But Radharani said, but how can it be a special form of you? Because he is manifesting the love for you that only I have. And how can you display that? It's not possible. And Radharani said, I think I understand. This is a combined form of you and me. And Krishna said, yes, you have understood. This is a very special and very secret form. Very secret form. Who only appears occasionally to save the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga. This is our form as Lord Gauranga. So Srimati Radharani was very happy, extremely happy to hear about that. We are going to appear in Kali Yuga and give everyone pure love for ourselves. Hare Krishna. Should we stop? He says no. Should we stop? I'll tell you one more little story. It's also very interesting. This story, this event, well, it starts in Nandagram. One day, 5,000 years ago, every day, Srimati Radharani would come to Nandagram from Varshana, and she would cook for Krishna. And Mother Yashoda, Radharani would cook with Mother Yashoda. And Mother Yashoda was so impressed, more than impressed, completely overwhelmed by the beauty, the qualities, the expertises and everything of Srimati Radharani. And Mother Yashoda made up her mind, this is the girl who will marry my son. There's no one else who comes anywhere near her. So one day, she just grabbed Radharani and made, with haldi, with turmeric, made sort of mehendi decorations, if you know what I mean, on the hands and arms of Srimati Radharani. And Radharani said, what are you doing? This is only done to a girl when it is arranged that she's going to marry some boy, but there's no such arrangement for me. And Mother Yashoda said, no, don't worry about it. You are going to marry my son Krishna. I have decided. And Radharani said, but have you discussed it with my parents? What does my mother say? You know, we're meant to all meet together and all these types of things. And Mother Yashoda said, don't worry about it. Your mother will be completely happy. It's not a problem. I'll tell her. So it's okay. So then Radharani with Lalita and Vishaka, they started walking back to Varshana. And Radharani was in great anxiety. What is my mother going to say when she sees this? It's just not right. I can't do it. And Lalita and Vishakha agreed, you're right. You should wash it off before you get home. So they were just at the bottom of the hill of Darshana, about to go up to the palace on top. And then they decided, there's a little kund just nearby. Let's go there and you can wash all this yellow off your hands and arms. And then you can go home and your mother will not be any the wiser. So they went to this kund, or poka kund. And Radharani washed and washed and washed. And you may know what it's like, particularly if you get turmeric in your clothes, on your hands. You've got to wash and wash to get it out. It just doesn't want to come out. So she washed and washed and washed and washed and washed. And as she washed and washed and washed, she was just thinking of Krishna and how she wants to marry Krishna and how she loves Krishna. But what can we do? But still she loves Krishna. So as she was washing and washing and washing, her love started going into the kund. Because her love is of a golden color. We may not have thought of love as having a color, but pure transcendental love is the color of molten gold. Amazing, effulgent, lustrous color. So her love started going into the kund until the kund became a bright yellow, glowing yellow color. And then they thought, okay, we got it all off, let's go home. So off they went up the hill to the palace at Darshana. Just very shortly afterwards, who should come by but our hero, Lord Krishna, looking for Radharani and the gopis. So he came by, he's looking around, and then he suddenly saw this kund, which is now this incredible glowing yellow color. Just like Radharani, just like her love. And Krishna came and started becoming overpowered by the whole experience, seeing the kund. And then he looked into the waters of the kund and he saw his face, but his face reflected in the golden water. His face was golden, and it was too much. Krishna just lost control and he fell into the lake, which was just rich with the love of Srimati Radharani. When Krishna fell in the lake, he became completely taken over by the loving mood of Radharani. And he was just swimming around and diving around, just roaring and chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just completely absorbed in Radha Prema. After a while he came out and he went, and gradually the golden color faded away. But when he came out and his body was completely golden and he was completely in the mood of Srimati Radharani, This is one of the first appearances of the Lord as Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Sri Gopanima Mahotsava ki. Hare Krishna. Thank you for listening very patiently.